Good evening.
And welcome to the Morro Bay City Council Advisory Board interview process, and welcome to everybody who came here tonight. Why don't we stand and face the flag? We'll do a pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And let the record reflect that all members of the City Council are present, and we'll begin with public comment period. If any of you would like to address Gary, come on up.
Hey,
I haven't seen you in a while. State your name for the record, please, Gary.
How's it going? My name is Gary Hickson. My address is 761 Butte Avenue. I live over by the Morro Bay Coffee Company. Doing some TV shows in the area, and I'm trying to keep everything on city matters. I'm probably going to talk for about 60 seconds. Say hello to everybody. I think everybody's doing a great job. Hello to George League and William Yates. And I just wanted to say I think it's an interesting meeting. I'm going to try to hang for most of the meeting. I think the city council is doing a good job. You guys are doing a good job. And everything's looking good this year. And I'm going to be around town filming with doing my stuff with the cameras, doing like the Gary Tyler Moore show and the Biotronic Woman. And I'm going to try to go to the spaghetti fundraiser. I think people should go to that. There's a fundraiser coming up, a spaghetti fundraiser that was at the Recreation Parks meeting. And that's basically all I wanted to say. I think AGP Video is doing a good job, and I'm going to go back and sit down. And thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks for coming tonight. For your words. Anybody else? Okay, then I'll bring it back to council. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 advisory boards we're going to try to appoint tonight. And we'll just take them in order of how it's been presented to us. So we'll start with the Planning Commission, and if John and Joe would come on up to the table here. And we will also note that Joe has actually applied for three. Why don't you come on up here, John? Three advisory boards, including the Planning Commission. And we can start with anybody, and I'll start with Carla.
Good evening. Thank you both for being here. I appreciate that you've turned in applications.
Morro Bay, and we also operate a barbecue walk-up stand in Morro Bay. So our intention is to ultimately be buried in a cemetery near Morro Bay one day.
Great. Thanks. Okay, Joe, if you could address Carla's.
What was the question again? Could you repeat it?
Yes, your desire to serve on this this commission.
Well, I'm very entrenched in Morro Bay at this point. I have a business here. I have commercial property here. I crisscross the city all the time, and I've talked to hundreds of people about how they feel about the city and the direction it's going. So I think I have a pretty good pulse of what people want and what they want and what they desire to see in the future of Morro Bay. So I think that is really the catalyst for pushing me in this direction to fulfill the wants and desires of the folks here in Morro Bay.
I value very highly public service, as I'm sure the council and mayor do. That's why we're here. I spent over 10 years serving under the pleasure of the governor and prosecuting labor and employment cases. And my philosophy is you have to give back into the community. And so I think it's up to each person to find how they best do that. From a public service committee standpoint, I'm very interested in the political structure of the city and how it operates. I participated to a small degree in the Morro Bay Planning Commission and watching how it operates. Being newer full-time into the community, I've really gotten a sense that there's a lot of different, very important issues that are really intriguing. And I think the ability to bring a real fair and rational approach to the Planning Commission to help participate with a full commission is something that is right up my alley and that I'm really qualified for.
Would each of you please expand on what you feel are your best qualifications for being a member of the Planning Commission? What do you think the job entails, and why do you what skills do you bring to the commission?
I'll go ahead and start. I believe that the job entails a fundamental handling of fairness and rational thinking, and being able to concisely get that rational thinking and consensus on the commission into findings that are legal. What I bring to the table is a strong legal background as an attorney. I have an ability to understand and read statutes and regulations and various codes and how they apply, as well as understanding the municipal law issues and how a commission works, and making sure that emotions aren't driving decisions, but the actual law and the facts are driving the decisions.
I can tell who the attorney is at this table. Okay. I look at this city, and I've been through building here. I built a restaurant here. It took me close to 2 years to build that restaurant. It was a very difficult process. And that was the hands-on experience I had here in dealing with building and planning, and it was a very tough course to go 2 years. And what I've seen is Morro Bay develop a little bit more, being a little bit more business friendly. But again, I talk to people all across this town. I mean, I have my finger on the pulse. I talk to them, I engage them, and you know, when you talk to folks, it's about, you know, it took me 2 years to build this house, or it took me this long, and they're very frustrated. So, again, as John was saying, there's got to be a fairness doctrine. You have to be able to compromise, reach across the aisle. There's two strong opposition groups in this town. It's apparent. You know, we've seen both sides of it. And in the end, it's trying to reach some compromise and bringing folks together. And that is, I think, the skill that I have. I have that folksy kind of appeal where I can reach out to people and bring opposing parties together, at least try that. I think that is the catalyst in the first part of this.
It's quite a rumor around that you're going to be running for mayor. Now, what I'm wondering is why you are applying for this planning commission thing. If you, in other words, it possibly could be if you win mayor, you'll only be on there for a short time, right?
I would presume.
Okay. So you actually have a political step here. Do you feel that?
I feel really it's public service. I've applied for three boards here. I don't think you can call this a political step. I had no intention of running for mayor. I never had an intention to being a public servant.
Okay.
It was met through frustration.
City government level, then that's just wonderful for us, wonderful for me. But the answer is no.
Oh, good answers.
Yeah, thank you. To both candidates, I'm interested in your knowledge with our general plan and local coastal plan. How familiar are you with that, and how would you approach those documents as you go about your duties on the planning commission?
The documents, the general plan, the coastal commission issues, I would take, you know, the current plan. Along with the rest of the commissioners, I certainly wouldn't try to recreate how the commission is approaching reading and interpreting those documents. And I would definitely follow suit on, as a new commissioner, on how the board has been handling those issues. Certainly those are the fundamental, the general plan, the various coastal commission issues, the regulations affecting the Environmental Quality Act and such. Those are the fundamental things I believe that the board has to use to come to its decisions and to evaluate cases that come before the commission. I would treat those on a case-by-case basis. I don't think that you can take any particular case that comes before any committee or commission and paint it with a broad brush. I think we have to take what's before us. Does this particular case comply with the general plan? Is an amendment being sought? If so, Does it comply with the law? If not, what has to happen to make that happen?
You know, no, a lot of time went into creating that plan. These guys that were up there, they've done a really good job. I know Rick Grantham very well. He works real hard at what he does. He believes in it. And I agree here that, you know, you have a plan in place, and you kind of follow that, but you look at it on a case-by-case issue when things come up. And you, again, you have to work with your other commissioners to reach. And again, I want to see harmony. The other night, I know at the chamber meeting, unity in the community was the theme. And I'd like to see more unity and more coming together. But there is that fundamental plan in place. You follow that. You abide by some of the Coastal Commission. And you go from there. You have a blueprint. And you follow and work with that blueprint to get where you need to be. And if you disagree with some of those things, you, again, like John said, you take it on a case-by-case basis.
I'm curious, based on that and understanding that the plan has been a guiding document for the community developed with a lot of thought, but understanding that going forward there are new challenges before us, some that we recognize, some that we may not. In your perspective, what do you see some of those challenges being?
I think that in a general sense, the challenge is trying to balance the issues of, for instance, jurisdictional issues between the Coastal Commission and then those that the City of Morro Bay have. And that's not always such a bright line. I also see that there's an issue of what the perception of development is and how that applies to the general plan and how the commission would rule or view a particular case when somebody is trying to develop or alter the general plan. So I think those are two of the biggest issues as I see them right now.
Well, we recently went through something with a development here that you're all aware of, and it packed this chamber a few weeks ago. And I would presume that issues like that will raise themselves up again. It's always a constant battle between the developer and what he wants and what the community wants and certain elements in the community. And I think that is the challenge moving forward. Again, I go back to the fact that we have two diverse groups in this town. A lot of times we haven't been successful in reaching out and reaching compromise. What made the Ronald Reagan presidency so memorable was the fact that he had the ability to reach across to a liberal Bostonian named Tip O'Neill, and they crafted a Social Security Act in 1983 that still resonates today. But it was through compromise and reaching out and talking and dialogue and communicating, and this town sometimes does not communicate and does not compromise.
So why don't we stay on that subject just for a second? I guess I'm driving at private property rights feelings here. So let's take Cerrito Peak. Did you agree with the Planning Commission's ruling, and did you agree with the City Council's appeal decision? Either one.
I'll take that first. I did agree with the Planning Commission's initial ruling. And I, of course, the council knows I came on the appeal and spoke on behalf of
appellants, and some of the people that were in the audience objecting had valid arguments on some of that stuff. But overall, I believe in protecting, you know, property rights. I have property. I'm a property owner. And there are things I would like to do with it. But I understand sometimes that I have to work within the limits laid out before me. Overall, I would have liked to have seen now. This goes both ways. I've heard, again, I talked to people, and they said that there were four appellants on it. And according to these groups, they said that only Noah was one that met with them, and nobody else met with them. I don't know if that's – I haven't heard the other side of the coin, but that's what I heard. And, again, if that is the case, I think that we really need to sit down with all groups. Again, I'm trying to – reach this compromise and discussion, and to see if we can't reach some kind of agreement with both sides before it ended up in the fashion it did. This was not the most pleasant experience, especially for you guys, you know. And you were faced with tough challenges, and I think I congratulated you afterwards, Bill, on that, that you did a good job. But I think, again, to say that I can do anything with my property, I don't think that's a fair assessment, and I think that we should have at least had further discussions with those groups beforehand, way beforehand. I think that it just kind of was boiling over. But overall, I do support property rights.
Anything else from anybody? Anybody? Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
We have, you can just stay there for the moment. Go ahead and mark your ballot. We'll turn it in to Andrea and then.
The results are tabulated. I have 4 votes for John Fennessy and 1 vote for Joe Jukic, and they go in this manner. Councilmember Borchard voted for John Fennessy, as did Councilmember Johnson, as did Councilmember League and Mayor Yates, and Councilmember Smuckler voted for Joe Jukic.
Congratulations, John. Thank you, Joe, for applying. You can
sure.
Stay right there, Joe.
Okay, because we're moving on. All right.
And we're going to invite you to make a comment if you like.
Just thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Council.
Okay. Good luck with service, and thank you for applying. And we have Joe up here. Is Karen Crowley here? Brian Dorfman, come on up.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about Ms. Crowley's absence?
We sure can. Okay, we have clarity on the rules, and it reads, candidates not appearing for interview before the City Council will be considered for appointment only upon a finding of the City Council by motion that the absence arises from excusable neglect. Very well phrased. So, yes, we can excuse, but we need to make that motion now if you want to do that.
I'd move that we excuse Ms. Crowley's absence considering her involvement with a jury duty summons.
Second.
Discussion?
Yes, please.
Go ahead.
Is this specifically just to this one advisory appointment?
I think it has to be done on a case-by-case basis, yes.
Yes, and then when you move, if you have another similar situation, you can again explore that when you get to that board or commission and either do the same thing or not anything at all.
So it's not a blanket motion.
Okay, but this is the only applicant that was held by jury duty. Thank you.
Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries 5-0. So we are going to consider Ms. Crowley in absentia. Brian, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
Brian Dorfman.
Go ahead. I was just saying your green light means you're on. Go ahead and speak.
Joe Jukic.
Do you want to give us a word about you, Brian? Who you are, where you're from? Where you're, you know.
Sure, I'm from California. And now I'm in Morro Bay. I was in San Diego for almost 25 years and have spent most of my life up and down the coast of California. And I'm here with my wife, Nicole, my two lovely
men.
And we're glad you did. We'll start with you this time, Noel.
Thank you. With the Recreation Parks Commission, there's all sorts of different issues that they'll visit, some involving future planning of our parks and different recreational areas, and others dealing with very specific case-by-case situations, such as with the dog park up at Del Mar Park. And I'm just curious to know if you've tuned into any Recreation and Parks meetings over the last couple of years, and if there was an issue that you saw them dealing with that particularly attracted you, and why that is so.
And if not, maybe you could talk a little bit about, if you haven't, if you've watched a meeting or attended a meeting, if you could talk a little bit about a favorite park you have in Morro Bay and why.
We've come in contact with the recreational aspect of Park and Recreational with our children playing in sports, and I have a lot of background in sports and athletics, personally and professionally, and so that really is what attracted me to the position. I've grown up in parks, and we have, of course, in San Diego, a lot of issues that we've dealt with dog parks and how to regulate that, and off-season we have horses. We have horses running on the beach from Del Mar, so I have a lot of interest in that. As far as on the local level, like I said, I've been more involved now with the recreational activity, and that's what attracted me to this position. Not the idea that I'm going to make a change in what we're doing with recreation for my children, but in the future. I'm here. I have time to stick around, and I feel it's probably the one position I'm qualified for.
My favorite park is Del Mar Park. And I kind of lived that when the dog park went in. I talked to a lot of residents that were really upset about that dog park. One gentleman even said to me he would have preferred a snake park. At least they don't make noise. He actually said that. So, I'm well aware of the situation, and I do watch the television. I watch our channel. And as for my involvement in parks and recreation, I think the key thing that I'm going to look forward to is creating some or elaborating on programs for seniors. I think it's a segment of our society here, and it's a very important group here in Morro Bay. And seniors and retirees, I think we need to increase some of the services. I have some ideas. I put some platform ideas together, some plans that would encourage more involvement in better programs and help, genuine help, that could be run through parks and recreation for our senior population here. And I that's one of the things that really interests me. But as for my favorite park, I would have to say Del Mar Park.
Follow up? No. George?
Well, I really appreciate you fellas for coming out to do this. It's one of my favorite things here, recreation. And I've seen Brian out there with his boy doing the soccer thing and everything when I was out there with my grandson. So I know he's got quite an interest in this, and it looks like that he enjoys the, thinking that kids really need to have exercise. So that's what I'm going to ask you guys both. How serious do you think this is for children to participate in exercise? And that's one thing I want to know right there.
When you consider the obesity problem with children in the United States today, I think it's very important. I think that once you rid the community of exercise and it stimulates the brain, it does a lot. I mean, but again, it goes back to that obesity issue that faces this country. John Ratzenberg, who was on the show Cheers, he made an interesting comment. He said, when I was a kid, we used to build tree houses. We used to build, skateboards. We built things. And we were outside and we were active. He said, today, kids are building tree houses on computers. So they don't. They're inside the house all the time, and it's really a fundamental issue to push people to the outside world, to get them active and help solve some of these obesity issues that are facing us in children today. I mean, I remember when my daughter was about 5 years old, everybody had the television screen monitor on the back of the seat, so they had that instant babysitter. And I refuse to put one in my car because, look outside. There's trees. There's birds. That's what you're supposed to do when you're in a car, not watch cartoons. And I think that is what we really have to instill in our folks here in town, is they got to get their kids active. Stimulates the mind, stimulates the body, does wonderful things. And I mean, and especially when you're in the hometown of
Parks is really beyond me. I'm not an individual that gets very involved in the political aspect of that. But as far as the programs we currently have, they're great, and I'd love to see our ability to get parents more involved with getting their children involved. And I think there's some very simple ways that we can embrace the adults' participation that would make it easier for the children to continue coming, because if the adults aren't getting a good experience, then the children aren't going to be coming. So that's another part of the recreation that I see.
Good answers by both of you. So it's too bad we don't have a hoop set up here. We could put a little one-on-one with you guys and see who comes out.
I wouldn't get the job. It's my leaping ability about right there.
I appreciate you including the boomers, Brian. Nancy.
You must be a boomer. I'm going to move away a little bit from this recreational aspect because there is so much more to our Recreation and Parks Department. They've had a lot of responsibility added to their list of things to do in the past few years. I mean, everything from trees and planting to making recommendations about land use down along the waterfront and the youth center over by the high school to recommending approval of community art projects. There's just a lot to our Recreation and Parks Department. What I'm wondering from each of you is where you feel your strengths lie other than the recreational aspect.
I want to get her points. Actually, I am aware of all those projects. I was down by the skateboard park, and I noticed that behind in between there and the school, it seemed to be, well, very chaotic. So, and the project down by the waterfront and the park that's been given to the waterfront where the basketball court's been put with the swings and all that. So was your question about, I'm sorry, the plants and vegetation?
No, looking at all the different aspects mm-hmm. of the things that our Recreation and Parks Department has under their umbrella, what do you feel are your strengths that you can bring to this board other than the recreational aspects?
You know, it's interesting. I live next door to one of the board members, John Bates, and he's just a wealth of knowledge. And so, again, I feel like I have a high comprehension of where people's specialty lies. And given different projects at the time, I think I can be a useful voice in the process and offer my specialties where they can. So that's what I can offer in that. And John is just, he's brilliant. We spend hours talking about these projects. He has a lot of passion for it.
You know, I've had pretty good success in both the public and the private sector throughout my life. In particular in the public sector and private sector, on many occasions I've had to manage portfolios. So what you're talking about here is a portfolio of different things and diverse things. That's probably my best strength, is I'm a great portfolio manager, and I'll leave it at that.
I'm going to move a little bit back into the political arena of it. Let's talk about the dog park. If you were on the Parks and Rec Commission as that vetted through there, I'd like to know how you would have voted and why, and I'll start with Joe. Thank you.
I love dogs. I think dogs are very important. Thank you. Yeah. You're loading it up on me. Again, I live in that community, and I saw their concerns, and I think you did some adjustments that you moved the park to certain places or you did a few things. I'm not that versed on it. All I heard was the negatives about it because I know all the people that live along the back of that. I don't have any opposition to a dog park. I think people need to take their. This is a beach community. Everybody pretty much has a dog, but again, I would have reached out, stepping back to look at it. If I had been involved with it, I would have really, really worked with those group of folks that were objecting to it to see if we could reach again a compromise. I would have gone through hoops to solve the problem way in advance. So I mean. But I think a dog park is a great thing for a town.
I don't know a lot about what happened in Del Mar. I'm just coming through a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old, so this is why this is more timely for me. to get involved, and I agree with Joe that I think oftentimes that the there's possible compromises, conversations that can have that can facilitate both sides feeling like it's a win-win, and how that gets done and which parties are involved.
Potential opposition if you've already had public hearings, because I'm kind of hearing this. What step is there beyond that that you would take if you have this controversy? Not build it or build it? You know, that's...
Again, I wasn't there. I wasn't involved with it. I only know a lot of the negative aspects of it. I don't know the positives. I was in a neighborhood where a lot of people objected to it. Again, if I was a public servant, in it's a very important word, public servant, I would have gone out of my way to individually meet with everybody, have coffee with them. I don't know if you did that. I don't know if anybody here did that, but I would be very engaged in that argument to always try and, again, reach a compromise. I brought Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill up at the beginning of this, and that's the important facet of government. There's got to be somewhere, somehow, to reach a happy medium.
Thank you.
Good. I'm good.
No? Yeah, just a last question about your time commitments. I understand from knowing both of you that you have professional interests in other parts of the state, and I'm wondering if that's something that could potentially create a challenge during your time on the board. And if so, how would you be able to manage that to make sure you're able to attend?
Yeah, I'm good. It's every other month on the third week or something. I'll be here.
Well, Noah, if I'm elected mayor, I guess I'll be here all the time. But yeah, every other month is not a it's not a difficult thing. So, yeah, I'm game.
All right, Joe. And let me add, Noah, that for me, I love the topic, and I'm happy to talk about park and recreations all day long. There's really, you know, there's not a lot of competition for me in that. And that, again, it's a very isolated field that that I have a skill set in.
Thank you both. Great answers. Karen Crowley is eligible because of the motion. So mark your ballots, and we'll go
just
to two.
May I ask a quick question?
You may.
Is she the application we have who is currently on the Rec and Parks Commission?
She is.
I just wanted to clarify.
You don't have to fold it. We're all going to know.
But George hasn't voted yet.
Oh, okay. I got you. I won't look.
How do you make an X?
Sorry, Noah. Yeah, good point there.
Just look it up for you.
The tabulation is Karen Crowley received 4 votes, Brian Dorfman received 5 votes, and Joseph Jukic received 1 vote, and it went in this matter. Councilmember Borchard voted for Karen Crowley and Brian Dorfman. Councilmember Johnson voted for Karen Crowley and Brian Dorfman. Mayor Yates voted for Karen Crowley and Brian Dorfman. Councilmember Smuckler voted for Karen Crowley and Brian Dorfman. And Councilmember League voted for Brian Dorfman and Joseph Jukic.
Okay, thank you. Congratulations, Brian.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'm really committed to this. I'm looking forward to getting started. And like I said, I hope to see all of you up there in about 10, 15 years looking healthier.
What does that mean?
Again, I'll invite you to stay right there.
she has a distinguished record on the... Board.
All right, now we're backing up to the Public Works Advisory Board with apologies to Council. P-Web. Stephen and Matt, are you here? Come on up. Welcome. You guys are going to have to share a mic, and if you just introduce yourself, we'll give you a third shot at it, too, Joe. Okay. Go ahead and start.
All right. My name is Matt Makowetsky.
And I think since you two have already done this before, what is your favorite part of among the many things that the Public Works Advisory Board does?
Well, we start with
Let's
you, Matt.
We'll start with Matt and move down.
We'll
yeah.
Switch it up. Thank you, Amy.
First of all, Public Works, I think, is a vital part of how the city runs itself. We have planning planning office, and we have the city council, and we have various infrastructure issues going on around the city. And PWEB is that chance that people who don't ordinarily come to city council meetings are able to come and maybe speak in a less intense atmosphere about what's going on in the city. And in my 4 years, that's what I've noticed, is that people can come to PWEB first, and I think that's what, back in the day when PWEB was created, was what it was for, was to give regular citizens a voice or be able to come and speak about or bring issues to the board that we then can take to either planning or up to city council. Which, and so in that way, Public Works fills a really vital role that it doesn't take up city council's time or planning time, and it's kind of a weeding out process, but it also gives that important voice to regular Morro Bay citizens. And in my time on the board, that's what I've noticed and that's what I've appreciated the most, the people who can come and speak about things that matter to all of us in Morro Bay, the roads, the streets, water issues, what's being built, what needs to be built. So PWEB just plays a very important part.
Steven?
Yes. First of all, if Public Works is doing its job, you do not hear from your citizenry because they're happy. The toilet flushes, the water turns on when you turn on the spigot. And from my standpoint, my background is civil engineering, and I sit in, you know, in the kind of job that they actually do, and this is a skill set that I feel very strong about. I think the city has done an excellent job, quite frankly, with the limited amount of resources you do have for your infrastructure, roads, and water and sewer. To that end, I see the Public Works Advisory Board as an advisory board to city council. It's a little bit of a filter where you do get the calls from the citizenry of complaints and concerns. And hopefully I feel I can make a sound decision that when you do make a offer your advice to the city council, it's well informed. And my favorite part of it is probably the sewer and water side of it. When you asked what part of Public Works that I do that, I sit as a community service engineer for Los Alamos and City of Solvang. And so that's a love to me. So from that standpoint, that's the most important part I see.
I have a microphone. Apparently I'm the novice here with these two gentlemen that have had a lot of experience. I would beg to differ with you. I would think that Public Works, in my opinion, isn't doing a good job because of the fact I hear every day about insane water bills and the streets in North Morro Bay. It's got to do a better job, and you got to push harder, and you got to find the money, and the city has to find the money to fix these roads. So I'd like to see Public Works step it up, and I think it's the responsibility of these people on this board to really, really get behind it and push to get their get what the citizens need out there. And I'd like to see first us build a successful road program and find that money and those dollars to get those roads fixed. Primarily, well, first of all, I'd like to see it in North Morro Bay because that's where I live. But I hear that story across this town. Thank you.
I think I'm good. I think the answer what I was interested in.
Thank you, all of you, for stepping up here and willing to spend your time. Matt, I know you've been there the last 4 years, so I guess I'll lead off with you. And there's been a lot of changes in PWAB over the last several years, part of it due to the change in a schedule and the changing of our department heads and things like that. So how do you see moving forward the next 4 years in a positive way? Is there something you see that Public Works Advisory Board, that PWAB is going to can take a direction progressively to help us as we move forward? I don't know if that's too vague of a question, but hopefully you get the gist.
As I understand, Public Works as an advisory board, looking historically and then kind of trying to understand what an advisory board is supposed to do and how Morro Bay, when they initiated them back in the early 90s, what the city needed, and then looking forward. So it's an interesting question, and it is a good question. One part of the understanding what the account of the board does is we are the conduit to the public, and we can interpret things and spell it out a little bit differently or ask those questions that people appropriate boards also.
I'd like to mirror that remark, and I think Joe brought it up earlier on another committee he was trying out for, and that's the fact that I think the advisory board is where the citizenry come to make their complaints and efforts so that it saves time once you get up to the city council level, that there has been some filtering done, that you have heard the concerns of the people and try to make it more concise as you feed it to the city council. I was a little surprised at some of his comments about North Morro Bay, and while I do realize their roads probably aren't quite at the level of the downtown area, unfortunately, we have not got that many complaints over the 6 months I've been sitting there from the citizenry about the roads up there. And the problem is it's sometimes a little Pollyanna to sit there and think that these roads are going to be kept up at a level when the funding isn't there. And, I mean, that's a hard choice to make as a city council. Do you pass local sales taxes to try and support your streets in excess of what you get from gas tax funds and things of this nature? And I'm not sure everyone in this town would be so willing to want to have a raise in taxes, especially when you're dealing with seniors who are on fixed incomes. So from that standpoint, I think the main job of the Public Works Advisory Board is to take in the information from the people and as they pass it on. I hope I answered your question, Carla. I got a little lost there.
Okay. Well, you said how are we going to improve this into the future is what I'm hearing, correct?
How do you see it moving forward?
Moving forward into the future. And again, I go back to that issue, and these two gentlemen addressed it. It's primarily working with the citizenry and continually having that dialogue and that communication with them on what the problems are. And, geez, if they're not complaining to you, I must be hearing it all. Because those are issues that need to be addressed, and those are the things we need to go out and look at and talk to and engage to get these roads fixed and not necessarily have to do it through tax increases. There are other ways.
If I could add one more thing, Carla, a good example, recently we did get an email regarding a stop sign warrant. I think it was at Morro and Marina. And it was a very good example of where I saw City Public Works take it. Generally speaking, in engineering speak, you sit there and you have to have warrants to put stop signs down, or you'd have them on every street corner in town. And that's how it was earlier addressed, but Rob did go out. He did actually put out the counters and checking to see what was going on at that intersection to try and formulate would it call for a stop sign even without the warrants in place. And I do feel the city does a good job. I really do. And I've sat in towns where I've seen Public Works sometimes as, you know, the bastard child, so to speak. But the fact of the matter is I think you guys do. The Public Works Department here does do a very good job. Thank you.
And if I could add one more thing, Carla. In the last 4 years, when we were doing the nitrate study on the Morro Valley, and we had the issue of at Lila Kaiser, And we had this issue, and we had some citizens coming to Public Works saying, we need to test around Lila Kaiser. And due to their, I mean, what, maybe that necessarily wasn't a direct result of their coming in and saying, we want this tested. We did start to do test wells around the Shell station under the overpass. And so that is an example of Public Works. Okay, this is a speech or a place where they can go right to council.
You want the last word, Joe?
Well, I wasn't critical of the people that work in Public Works. I'm saying that we need to find money, and I don't think the money is necessarily through tax increases. I think there's other ways to drag revenue in. I think Rob and this group, they do what they can with what they have. But at the end of the day, as being a member of this board, you have to, you know, you have to dig through things and find out where you can find those things to fix roads, to fix the infrastructure. Infrastructure is a critical issue all across this country, and we're no different. And we have to find ways to get there. And this is an important role of this board.
Thanks. Noah.
Yeah, thank you. Another vital part of our community is transportation, and that's obviously something that the Public Works Advisory Board deals with. And specifically, we've been talking about some of the needs within our transportation services here in the community, and then working with the regional programs. And both you got a chance to look at the regional concept, and we're still in dialogue there. When you took your tour on the trolley, we haven't had a chance to really touch base yet, but are you starting to identify some areas that you think are really key for the community as we've looked at this new transit route, the fixed route? Are there things that you're thinking might be missed at the moment as this comes back around to you, this regional transit plan concept?
Negotiate their way through the parking lots. I was very impressed with that aspect of it. It concerned me originally when, I want to say RTD, but that's not, but the RTA came to us. And they were basically having the trips in the downtown area as well as North Morro Bay from, I think it was from an hour to 2 hours or something on that realm. And they were covering Los Osos quite heavily, I noticed. And I have a real concern, and quite frankly, in busing or public transportation, oftentimes it does need to be subsidized, because once you start cutting service, it becomes a death spiral to public transportation. That's why it's never worked very well in California, except when you get up in the Bay Area, where they made a large commitment to how public transportation works. And the big cities back east are the same way. So I do have some concern where they're trying to make it pay-as-you-go or make it work on its own cash-wise. And sometimes I think it might be a fool's errand a little bit, because if they cut the services too much to get to the places people need to go, you'll just see it. You'll see the ridership dwindle as a result of that, and then it just becomes a self-fulfilled prophecy. I realize they are trying to work within their budget, and that's why RTA came back the way they were. I was a little concerned. I think there was one section where they had them going to the high school, and those high school students, they could walk home quicker than they'd ride the bus, because I think it ran them down to Los Osos, as I remember, before they came back into the downtown area. I would assume they'd just cut across the sand dunes there over near Coleman Park and go home in that vein. That was my only real concerns on it right now. I understand they do have their issues, though, that they have to still deal with, and I don't think Morro Bay has the total saying that. They do have a say in the matter, however, RTA is still the one that's a little bit driving the bus, so to speak, is how that works. The interior part of it worked real well, it seemed to me, Noah. It was more that when the RTA came into play and how it was going to get them there.
Well, I think in the next few years we're going to see push come to shove with busing here in town. Morro Bay Transit, over the last number of years, we've downsized Dial a Ride to the trolley, and we went from door-to-door to a fixed route. And we were bringing it up earlier, talking about Morro Bay. We do have a population, a very significant population, that needs transportation. They can't get themselves to Albertsons or Spencer's. And so, and that's Morro Bay Transit, and they've been bending over backwards to service those needs. And we also have one of the other, the big bull in the room is RTA. And they're the biggest bus service in the county, and right now they're getting a lot more play in Los Osos. And by doing that, if Morro Bay doesn't step up to the plate, we are in danger sometime of losing a lot of that funding for that response in RTA response through Morro Bay. And we're, as Stephen's talking about, we're losing ridership in Morro Bay Transit and the death spiral of what he's talking about. So right now it's a delicate dance, I see, in terms of RTA and Morro Bay Transit. And you can see where Morro Bay Transit has come a couple times to PWAB, and they've come, and Morro Bay Transit is very responsive coming. And I would like to, as Joe's been talking about throughout his interviews, is some sort of mediation process of making these two bodies come together. Because if we lose RTA, it's going to be very problematic to Morro Bay and getting people to Los Osos or San Luis, and we need that. A lot of our citizenry need that. And it's not just, I was speaking to a woman over by Spencer's in the last few months. She's newly retired to Morro Bay to the home there on Atlanta Street. She doesn't drive anymore, and she was still ambulatory in terms of walking around, very lively, but she wanted to go to Trader Joe's. And trying to be in, she was almost 80, trying to get to San Luis Obispo and back is very hard. And so we need, as a city, we need RTA, because Morro Bay Transit cannot afford that, and she can't afford a taxi to town. So in terms of your question, I see it as an ongoing issue. And Public Works is a way that those two bodies have been coming together, and hopefully they'll be able to in the coming year or so, I think that's when it's going to happen, is come up with some sort of agreement.
That both of you answered my other question, which was how could we better utilize perhaps the Public Works Advisory Board and the resources you offer. I think you both answered that pretty well, but did want to leave that question open to you if there's some other areas that you think we could utilize the Public Works Advisory Board in a more effective way.
I'm not sure I could answer that, just because I've only sat through three meetings, Noah, so I'm still getting my feet wet on how it operates here. They do appear to bring everything to us that is going on within the town, and from that end, I don't see a problem with it as it stands today for me.
Over the last few years, we've had a number of people bring different talk to us or come to the meetings. So I still like to publicize to all the people in Morro Bay, just if there's an issue, bring it to us and we can kind of weed it out. I think that's one of our mandates.
The PWAB show.
I just want to say that, you know, these gentlemen are much more qualified because they've had experience in it, and I really just applied to offer my service to the public. So I want to be very clear on that. So that's really what I'm going to say.
Cool. Well, I'm good with the other questions. Do you want another shot at this? Anybody else? Okay, we're gonna do the vote. Thank you all. This is the hard one, hardest one.
It has been interesting. I said it has been interesting.
This is different than they've done it in the past. In a different format.
This is the way they did it the last time I sat on it, though. Yeah. 6 months ago, this is how they did it.
I have the results, and I have 5 votes for Matt and 5 votes for Stephen, and no votes for Joe, and everybody voted the same. I won't read those off.
Joe, I want to thank you for applying, and I'm sorry that you applied for 3 and didn't get it. I think we all hold you in high regard, and if you don't get elected mayor, please come back next year and apply. Thank you. Back. Bonnie, Joe, Alex. Well, I don't know what happened to Bonnie Jones. Vacation. Hi. Just give us a second here.
Mayor Yates, may I ask the city manager a question?
Please.
Thank you. For clarification, my understanding when I spoke with the city clerk today is one of the three positions vacated was Mr. Schmitz, and that's a member at large, period, because you have listed three hotelier positions.
No, it is a hotelier position. The bylaws were changed from that position, so now the three vacant positions are a hoteliers. The difference is that we have two hoteliers at large, a three-year and a four-year term, and then a hotel with 22 rooms or less.
So the hoteliers at large are any size hotel.
You're correct.
And so we have just now two members at large on the T-bid?
You're correct.
And then five hoteliers?
Yes.
Thank you.
Whoops. Could I ask one more question to clarify that? So hotel 22 or less, there could be two of those people, both as members at large?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to make sure that was completely clear.
Does Bonnie Jones own a hotel?
We it wasn't indicated on her application, and we did leave a message with her today and did not hear back. There's no indication that she does.
Okay. And Mr. Alex Amini, is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
And you have a hotel?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Which one?
Breakers.
We know the Breakers.
Yes.
And Jane Beeman is on vacation, which is why she isn't here. I would certainly make a motion to consider her. I don't know how the rest of you feel about Ms. Jones. We don't know that she's a hotelier. Do you know Joan?
I'm unfamiliar with her.
Okay.
I'm unfamiliar with that name from all of my TBID email lists, but that does not mean that there is a hotel that has not changed hands unbeknownst to me.
Okay. Well, her little resume reads, have owned restaurants and vehicle transportation business before retirement, have been a part-time resident of Morro Bay past 9 years, and have recently become full-time, so she doesn't mention that she is a hotelier. And these three positions are hotelier positions. And Mr. Amini, I apologize. I know we've met before. I apologize for. Yeah, I'm good with that. But do you want to question these people for anything? Do you?
I would have one question to ask.
Please.
Could you please tell me if you're interested in the three-year position or the four-year position?
I would be interested in a four-year position, and as far as the delineation of where I sit and who sits where 22 rooms or less, I believe that Ms. Beeman is currently sitting as a 22 room and less, and I'm a hotelier at large. And that switch moving to hoteliers at large occurred because I used to own a second hotel here in town, and hotels are real estate, and as such, sometimes they're bought and sold, and so we have a couple of positions, the at-large positions, that lend that flexibility to our board.
Thank you.
Alex?
Where do you stand?
I have no problem. I
mean, with the 3 year?
3 years, that's fine.
Okay, perfect. Thank you both.
So now I have a question. How do we indicate that on our...
Just write it, 3-4.
Put your X, is this work?
X-3.
X-3 year or X-4 year?
Okay, thank you.
And we have 2 4-years and 1 3-year. Ms. Beeman doesn't have a choice.
And thank you for coming and sitting through all this and for your service.
And we're glad you replied, Alex.
I don't think I need... As long as my understanding is that I have Mr. Amini as a 3 year at large, Ms. Beeman as a 22 or less 4 year, and Ms. Solo at 4 year at large. Is that my understanding?
That's what I have.
Perfect.
That's what we have unanimously. That
don't
even have to turn. That concludes your interviews. And I wanted to ask some hard questions, though. And we thank you very much. Is there anything from council?
Thank you.
Anything from staff? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think I'm, I'm